the first time I'm trying to do this from my laptop, so forgive me if I lose my way a little bit, but I need to get an iPad. But I just figured, like, I'm finding I'm preaching more and more and more, and I'm running out of ink in my printer, and I'm wasting paper, so let's try and learn how to do it like this. So have a little bit of grace with me, please. So this morning, I felt God lay this scripture on my heart, and maybe just to start from here and then just really share with you what I felt He's laid on my heart. And it's really just a message, no matter what it comes out like or no matter what you hear, it's a reminding of your first love. Always. Every message, every opportunity, no matter what we share with people, no matter how we walk things out, what we counsel, we pray for people, it should always be reminding people of their first love. Always, in everything. It's always, everything points back to Jesus in a biblical perspective. So the scripture I want to share with you this morning, we'll start there, is 2 Corinthians 11, 2-4, and I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to go through it a little bit with you. So this is it. So this is Paul writing to the church in Corinthians. And this is his love for them. This is his heart for them. He says, "For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from the sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Remember that. The sincere and pure devotion to Christ. "For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus other than the one that we proclaim, or you receive a different spirit from the one you first received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easy enough." So that's what he's saying to them, and that's where I'm going to stop. So Paul is coming, and he's pouring out his heart. He's saying, "I have this divine jealousy for you as a people." And as I was reading that scripture, I was like, it impacted me, because that's me for you. Is I, in a sense, one day as I lead you guys, I'm going to present you before him one day. Hopefully his appearance spotless bride, in a sense. That there is this divine jealousy in me for you, for each and every one of you. And there is a responsibility from me to remind you continuously of that pure devotion. That pure devotion to Jesus, that pure, unadulterated, uninterfered with pure devotion to Jesus. You see, that's my job. My job is to help you fix your eyes upon Him, is to help you run into Him. And as I shared this morning, He reminds us there also of warnings, saying, listen, be careful of this different gospel. Be careful of what's being preached. Be careful of these things. And I'm going to touch a little bit on that different gospel, because I feel like we're coming to the end of a year. Everyone's generally quite tired at this time of the year. And I feel like God gave me this funny little comparison to that. I feel like there's a different gospel that comes at the end of this year. It's the gospel of me. Call it the December gospel. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about that. And maybe to go back is... The title of my preach, or the title of what I'm sharing with you this morning, is to not grow weary of doing good works. To not grow weary, where is it? Of doing good. To not grow weary of doing good. You hear my heart? To not grow weary of doing good. And in Galatians 6:7-9, it says this: "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap corruption. For the one who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit he'll reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And I felt like those are the two scriptures really that God put in my heart to share around this morning. It's to not grow weary. It's to not become... to lose our focus, is to not get distracted of what He has for us as we go into this year, as we go into the end of this year. You see, so we are called, what are we called to do? us as Weinberg. You know what we're called to do? We're called to reflect his glory, really, to the world out there. We're called to advance the kingdom. We're called to see others come to Jesus. We're called to live out New Testament Christianity, New Testament church. We're called to love those out there. These are the things that so I'm reminding you of what we've been called to do and what our mandate is, in a sense, so that when I share this with you, you'll be remembered. You will remember, okay, this is what we've got to do. This is how we've got to live it out. So it's almost like a warning to us as a people. Let's not become that people as we go into this part of the year. So can I just say this as a disclaimer for you, those of you who are sitting on the end of your seats, what am I about to say, what am I about to preach, is December is my favorite time of the year. My favorite time of the year. I absolutely love it. It's just memories. For me, if you ask me, what does December smell like? Somebody ever asked you the question like that? So what does success smell like or whatever? What does December smell like? Sun? Sunscreen. Oh, that's exactly it. Sunscreen and bra flies. That's what December smells like to me. It's just, and all these memories get triggered off of good times. I love summer. I love surfing. I love fishing. And all of these things are great. But I want to keep on reminding us, where is our focus? Because we so quickly fall into things of this world and the pleasures of the flesh. We so quickly get shifted off and onto this December gospel, in a sense. So this is what happens in December, and this is what it tells us. This is the different gospel. It says, take it easy. Now remember, everything I'm saying is with balance, okay? So sometimes we land up this side and we've got to swing the pendulum back to this way. So everything I'm saying is balanced, okay? When I talk about family, yes, family's important. I'm not telling you to neglect your family. When I'm saying be careful of rest, because I might even say that, I'm not saying do not rest. I'm saying audit yourself and how you do these things. All right? So this is what happens in December. This is the December Gospels. It's take it easy. Take time off. It takes the focus off looking out, and it brings it to you in this time. Time to worry about me. My pleasure. What I've earned in the year. I've earned this rest. I've earned this time. I've earned this escape. Time to be selfish. Worry about family. I just want to worry about my family. I haven't got time for other people. And I just want to say to you, who did Jesus say was his family? Those who do the will of my Father. So I'm not saying don't worry about your family, your blood family. I'm just saying don't neglect that which he's actually called us to do. There is a balance to these things. And I hope you guys are not going to walk out here going, oh goodness, we can't have a holiday. No. I want you to go, and I want you to rest. I want you to go, and I want you to enjoy your time off, because it's so important. But I don't want you to forget your first love in this time. And we do that. And I speak out of experience. I can't be the only one standing here going, when I'm on holiday, I struggle to have a quiet time. I said that. Yes, I just said that. Why? Because I love fishing. I love surfing. I wake up in the morning, the first thing I think about, what is it? Fishing. Yeah, what's the tides doing? That's me. What should I be thinking about? Jesus. Who should I be focusing on? Jesus. Why? Because my rest is in him. My rest is not out of him. So you know, 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 says this, but understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient, tra-la-la-la-la, all of those things. And then at the end of that scripture, it says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. So make sure, so this morning I feel like God's saying this, let us not become this people. Let us not fall into the trap of becoming that people. And I know, when it comes to planning things, like my wife's amazing at this. She's like, she plans holidays. That's like at the beginning of the year, she's already planning a holiday. I love those things. I think they're great. They are fantastic. I just shared with you a couple of weeks ago the importance of these things, the importance of me and her when we took some leave. It brings health to our family. It affects our children in a good way. It affects you guys in a good way. It brings health to this family. So I'm encouraging you to do those things, but I keep with this divine jealousy, I keep wanting to steer you back. Remember your first love. Remember, even in this time, our rest is in the Lord. It's not out of the Lord. Isaiah says exactly that. Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on eagle's wings, and they shall run and not grow weary." So how many of us, this is an interesting question, how many of us, between Christmas and December and New Year's, that week, come back having lost weight in the holidays? Because, I mean, not everyone has holidays, I get that. But generally, between Christmas and New Year's, most companies close, most people, schools will close, most people find a day or two there to have a little bit of time together as a family, a little bit of a holiday. And if not, Christmas and New Year's still exist, and most of you guys do have Christmas dinners and New Year's dinners, and there's all the pudding in between. I'm just sharing from my own experience. So how many of you guys come back after that week lean and mean and fit? Or do you feel like, yes, I need a bit of a Robin, yeah. Well done to those of you who do. More disciplined than most. But the real reality is most of us feel like we need a bit of a detox, right? All the chocolate and all of those things. And exactly the same thing happens when we take our eyes off Jesus in that time. When we don't remain in Him. It's not like our spirit man gets stronger and healthier. He gets fat and lazy. Or we don't feed him and he starves. And then we hit the new year wanting to get excited and start running and and we can't get into this rhythm. It's like, what's going on? It's because I haven't been spending time with the Lord. I actually picked up in my own life, I picked up a cycle. And it's actually not in my notes. I just realized that now. At the beginning of each year, like a January time of each year, I would get a bit of a wobble. Like I'd be like, what am I doing? Where am I going? Like career-wise, life-wise, like where am I going with this? And I think it's because the holidays affected me. I got fat and lazy. My spirit man had become starved because I began to take my focus off Jesus. I wasn't finding my rest in Him. I was finding my rest in pleasures of this world. I've got a great story. So I grew up down the Eastern Cape, Port Elizabeth. And for those of you who know the Tsitsikamma coastline, there's a place there called Obos. It's close to Storms River. And I grew up going on holiday there with family friends of ours at a house there. And this place is the most beautiful place in the world. It's like, goodness me, if I could only describe it to you. I think it is my favorite place in the world on earth. If I could choose anywhere in the world, I would be there. And I promise you not. Like, nowhere else in the world would I rather be. It's saying quite a bit, eh? Have I made it, like, hyped it up enough for you? It's beautiful. Anyway, so a couple of years back, I think we were newly married still. These are old family friends of ours. We hadn't been there for many years, and they invited us to come and share a week there with them, or our whole family and their family, over just after Christmas, New Year's time. So I went, and I was so excited. I was like, yes, I was like a kid the day before Christmas. I was like so excited. So I packed all my fishing gear because it is probably some of the best fishing along our coastline. It's amazing. It's untouched. There's no one there. It's just incredible. So I packed all my toys and off we went. And I got there and we were there for a week and I had a ball. Like, yes, it was amazing. I just fished and fished and fished and just hung it like they've got this amazing lagoon there. It's absolutely beautiful. But came to the end of this holiday, and me and Margot started like, just things weren't going lekker. What was going on? Like, I could see my wife wasn't happy. She was depressed and upset with me. And I was like, what on earth is going on? This is amazing. Look how amazing this is. You see, my wife is my earthly first love. And my relationship with her reflects my is a reflection of my relationship with Jesus, actually. Marriage on this earth is a reflection of his covenant with us. And I had taken my eye off her. I would even spend time with her, but I would be thinking about other things. I'd be watching the tide and checking the conditions, and like she would be talking in this ear, and I'd be like this, you know? And she's like, and she could see it. She would pick it up. And I hurt her. I pushed her away by doing these things, actually. And it actually took a friend of mine to reveal this to me. Like, he phoned me the one day. I just got back from holiday. We were wobbling a little bit, and like because of this thing, we were working through this thing. And he had a dream, and he phones me, and he rebukes me. He's like, listen, he didn't even know about the situation. He feels like the Lord says, you need to focus on this and that. You must stop doing this and that. I was like, yo, okay. And God just convicted me of these things. And he used that story, though, to actually paint this picture of what it's meant to be like. I had got so wrapped up in this pleasures of this world and things that I love, resting, enjoying the time, but I had taken my focus off my wife. And my relationship with her had suffered. And I should have come back out of that time, rested together as a family, amazing time together, ready for the year. But I came back, we came back in a worse place than we had started. And how often does it happen to us in the spirit? How often do we go away with a good intention, but we don't do it? And I felt like God wanting just to remind us of this. Just saying, hey, beware, keep your wits about you. That was the phrase that keeps on coming into my mind. Keep your wits about you. My job is just to remind you guys, to remind you who's in charge, to remind you who we love, to remind you who we're following, to remind you where the breakthrough lies, to remind you that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It says, do not be deceived. You will not be well rested if you sow to the flesh. You will grow weary of doing good. So turn back your gaze upon him, especially now as the lure of the world becomes even stronger over this time. Keep your wits about you. Keep your wits about you. And I've seen this. December time, as a leader, as a pastor, it's generally a quiet time. It's a nice time to work. Because most people are away and everyone's busy with family and that type of stuff. So it's a quiet time. But going into the new year, often pastorally, a lot of stuff pops. Early January, February. And why? Because people have drifted. People have drifted from him. People have picked up things in the holidays. Often pick up stuff. And it just becomes a real practical thing. I would often say to young guys that I was discipling, guys, be careful of December. I know what goes on in December. I know what happens when you go to the beach. But be careful of these things. Guys, don't take a holiday from the Lord. I know we need to take a holiday sometimes from church and that type of thing. We're going to go away. But God doesn't take a holiday from you. So make sure that you're remaining in that place of intimacy with him. See, people allow the enemy to creep in when their guards are down because our guards are down. So, and it gives birth to sin, right? Sin gives birth to death. So this was a few points that's just put down here. Single people, be aware of the pleasures of this life and the lust of flesh. Young men, be careful about where you spend your time. Young ladies, be careful of who you spend your time with. Sometimes out of frustration and even desperation, I know this. As young ladies, you're looking for a godly man, you want a godly man, you want to get married. But let's be honest, there's not lots of guys around. I look at this congregation, I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, send us some single men. Because I want you ladies to find good godly husbands. I want you ladies to to marry into a healthy relationship. And I know what December does. All Pitty's cousins down visiting, and we're having a Christmas bride together. And all of a sudden, my heart verlang. But it's true. And then all of a sudden, you're feeling these emotions and these things. No, I can't find anyone in church. I can't find anyone. And, but this guy's okay. And, and you get caught up emotionally. And your guard's down. And boom, the enemy's on your doorstep. And then you've got the next 2 months trying to sift through the nonsense that he's brought in, like, an instance of your guard being down. And I just want to just raise the flag and say, hello. Watch out. It's coming. It's coming. Because often you can, you're in it and you don't see it and it catches you off guard. But if you can see it coming, you can sometimes sidestep it. And I think the way we sidestep it is staying in that intimate place with him in his times. Like girls. Seriously, we've got a lot of single young ladies in this congregation. Like, I'm jealous of you guys. I'm protective of you guys. I don't want to see you guys getting hurt. I don't want to see you guys making wrong choices and landing up in bad relationships and that. I'm jealous for you guys. As a big brother, as a father in this house. And I think each of the guys here, I mean, we have a responsibility to those within us. Guys. Young men, I want you to make good decisions. I must feel like I'm speaking to no one here. We don't have any young men. John 15:4 says, abide in me and I'll abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide in him. Jeremiah 17, it says, he is like a tree planted by water that sends out his roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For his leaves remain green and he is not anxious in the year of drought, for he does not cease to bear fruit. That's talking of a tree that's planted next to the river of life. That's us. Be planted next to the river of life. Make sure your plant is getting watered. That water is the Holy Spirit, that intimacy with Him. Let us not grow weary of doing good. Let us not grow weary. And I think to maybe come in with this, is to finish well. And often when we finish well, I think it sets us up for a good time of rest as well. Because if you ever noticed, and I used to do, so here's a quick story. I used to train a lot. I've shared this with you guys before. I was an Ironman athlete. So you do a lot of extensive training. Your body is pushed to the absolute limits while you're training most of the time. Okay, so your body, and you're very, very fit. You're extremely fit. But I don't know how your body knows this, but the minute you take a rest, you get sick. The minute you take a rest, and this is the same to a lot of you guys that work hard out there. You're working through the year, you're pushing through the year, you go and leave, you get sick. And it's, I don't think it's the enemy. I think it's just your body actually going, ugh, I can let my guard down. And then a virus creeps in and you get sick. So what we used to do is, and it races, I'm taking a little bit, narrow it down a little bit for you. When we used to race, I used to run a lot as well. We used to have a saying that a race is not won on the hill, it's run at the top of the hill. So for those of you who have ever run, like when you climb a hill, it takes a lot out of you. I've run with Ant, and he killed me on the hills. But I was like running behind him going, Ant, race is not won on the... But it's like true. It's like we guys want to attack that hill with so much vigor, and they pump up the hill, like, and by the time they get to the top of the hill, they are finished. They can't, some of them don't even finish the race. The guys that are well-seasoned, well-trained, know what to expect. They know how to pace themselves up to the hill. They get to the top of the hill, and they got more energy, and they take off. That's where race is won. And it's the same in the year for us. We end well, we end strong. We want to end in Him all the way, all the time. God, fill me anew. So I felt like, maybe Bretty, you can actually come up. Short message this morning. God's ministering to us. I felt like His presence was really here this morning. I want to go back into a time of worship. You know that we're running a race, eh? You know that. In 1 Corinthians 9:24 it says, do you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets a prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. You know that we're running, you know this is a race, laugh. So it's really that thing. And I just felt like God saying, just remind them, just remind them, just remind them. It's your job, just to remind them. Point them to Jesus, point them to me. So I want to go back into just the time of worship now and really just seeking the Lord for each and every one of us, because I think this applies to most of us, because it applies to me. I've got to keep myself in check. That if you're feeling weary and you're feeling tired, that the end of the year cannot come soon enough, ask His Holy Spirit to come and fill you anew and afresh. I want to pray with you guys. And if that's you this morning, that you've had a rough, hard, long year, and you're just like, oh, Lord, I just want to make it to the end there. That when you do make it to the end, that it's not just, oh, and you open the door for the enemy to come in. It's like, okay, I've got you. God, what now? What now? And if that's you this morning, won't you stand with me? I'm standing.